This is audiobook of the White Eagle book from 58, Golden Harvest. The White Eagle Publishing Trust, 1958. Foreword. The words of this book were all spoken by White Eagle to students on the path of spiritual unfoldment. He speaks from a higher level of consciousness than we as yet possess, who have only proceeded a little way on the path. His deep compassion and understanding of human need are the result of experience and final conquest of earthly life, and he knows too well the tribulations, great and small, which beset us all as we confine to struggle with our human problems. He has passed beyond all imitations of our mortality and has witnessed the indescribable happiness of life made perfect. He knows the richness of that spiritual golden harvest, which awaits every man and woman who labors faithfully and valorously on earth. Because, like all the wise elder brethren of the human race, he is full of understanding love for humanity, he comes back to tell how men may sow and reap this harvest of happiness in this life as well as in the next. This book, the third of the present series, differs somewhat from the preceding two books, Morning Light and Sunrise, of which details will be found at the end of this volume. For although it has an unfolding plan which will be readily apparent, it is not intended to be read through from cover to cover continuously and then laid on one side. Each small section is complete in itself, so that when the book is opened at random every page will yield its treasure of wisdom and give its answer to the reader's particular need. Those who have compiled it have done so in the hope that it may become the reader's constant companion in joy and sorrow alike, guiding and comforting always, and that the practical wisdom that it contains may become a living reality, and above all that the essence of love which poured like a benediction upon the listeners when the messages were spoken, may have found its way into the printed word and thus into the heart of the reader. December 1958. Next headline. 1. The Path of Light. If you look up into the sky on a clear night, your small earthly mind becomes dazed by the countless stars and stellar systems which are displayed. Yet you see only the outward aspect of the heavens. Every one of those stars and planets is under the direction of a great soul, shall we even say a God, who watches over its life and activity. Meditate upon the thought of the countless beings existing even in your own solar system who are instruments of God's love. All are proclaiming by their life of service the same truth of love and brotherhood. Consider a butterfly's wing, for a moment try to imagine its beauty, its delicacy of form, its many colors. Or else take a little wild flower with its jeweled petals and stamens. Then examine either of these under a microscope, and you will be overwhelmed by the wondrous intricacy of composition which will be revealed. Yet these are only infinitesimal aspects of the glories of creation. Throughout all physical life and ranging out into the higher ethers are indescribable glories waiting for man's discovery. You have it within your own power to reach those higher planes, when once you have learnt to control and discipline your desires and emotions and so to rise above the limited consciousness of your physical life, to enter into and behold the finer ethers which interpenetrate gross physical matter. The glory of God's plan of creation is beyond the capacity of the finite mind to understand, but as you unfold spiritually the imitations fall away, and you are able to enter the heavenly realms, and there see God's plan for your future and for the future of all mankind revealed. Mastership or Christhood is not only for a selected few, all the children of God have their feet set upon the self-same path. You are God's child, having within you potential mastership and Christhood. As part of the great plan, you have been given power of free will choice, and provided with the exact conditions which you most need for the development of your soul, and the unfoldment of your spirit. A seed or bulb contains within itself all the beauties that the flower will presently reveal. When planted in the earth, by its very nature it begins to grow and later to flower, and when this happens you say, "What a miracle is this! Out of that tiny seed has come this glorious flower or a big tree." Is this not an illustration of man's real nature and life? His growth from a seed, his flowering into spiritual life. At his beginning his spirit is sown in the heart, it is the seed of the Christ man he will someday become. During his many incarnations, the man will confront the conditions, undergo the experiences, triumph over the difficulties, temptations and weaknesses inseparable from mortal life, in order eventually to develop and bring forth this flowering of the Christ Spirit. If you could hold fast, be constant to this one viewpoint, it would help you so much in your daily life by giving you patience and courage to persevere with the wonderful piece of work that has been entrusted to you. Next headline. The test of strength. The answer to all your personal and human problems lies in your surrender to the will of God, in your saying within your heart, "Thy will be done, Zero God." But this surrender is very difficult for those of you who are just setting out upon the spiritual path, particularly when you think you already know more than in reality you can truly understand or attempt to put into practice. All who wish to be used in the Master's service have to withstand great pressure and to be well tested. Let us suppose the Master called on you to do some very important piece of work which might affect the well-being of many souls, and suppose you had not been previously tested and well proved. It is possible that you would break down under stress. We are telling you this in order to help you in your endeavors to follow the path of light, with all its attendant testings and disappointments. We are permitted to point out the way. One thing is very sure, and this is God's enduring love. God is ever with you, even though at times he may appear to veil his countenance. Hold fast to belief in his love and wisdom, and you will always come through the mists into the light. Rest assured that every time you are tested and manage, with God's strength, to stand up to your testing, you will advance a step further on the path. We would call each of these trials, which are really soul testings, minor initiations. Initiation is an awakening of the spirit in man, and as a result of that awakening, a continued unfoldment of the Christ power within. It brings about an expansion of consciousness which will reveal the heavenly mysteries. You can listen to many words, read many books, but until you have actually passed one of these soul testings, you will know only with your mind, and not with your whole being. You will not have acquired that knowledge which endures. The tests or initiation which come to you on the spiritual path fall into four main categories, and are concerned with the spiritual elements of your being. In the first initiation, that of the water, the soul who passes all the tests becomes an initiate of the water element, which implies that the emotions are controlled and directed wisely from then onwards. In the next degree, the mind learns how to control thought, how to discriminate between the real and the unreal, the false and true, the black and white, the negative and positive, the lower and the higher mind. The candidate learns discernment. That is the air initiation. The fire initiation is the discipline and wise use of the power of love. And lastly comes the earth initiation, when the lower nature is crucified or overcome, and man seeks only to serve God and his brother man. Then we behold the arisen Christ, or the soul that having freed itself is no longer influenced by the carnal or fierce emotional desire nature of the lower self, or by the dominating mentality which kills, for truly the mind of earth can be the slayer of the real. Only when trained and disciplined through contact with the divine love does man's intellect change into divine intelligence. That is why all great souls become gentle and simple, sweet, childlike, and of goodly intelligence. The arisen Christ is born from the heart, not from the intellect. Whatever stress or difficulty you are called upon to endure, look up to the heavenly light, be constant to the divine spirit. You will never regret your faith, your confidence in the power of God not only to bring you through your particular wilderness, but to bless you with understanding of the purpose in your sorrow or tribulation. Once you have set your feet upon the path, remember you cannot compromise. You must be strict, not with others but with yourself. Things are either right or wrong. When once you have seen this path of self-discipline, purity, loving service, gentleness and perfection revealed, quietly pursue this path. We do not speak of any personal reward. Nevertheless, the joy which accrues from this sort of life is beyond all earthly understanding. We do not bid you to mortify the flesh, but rather to glorify the flesh by release of the Christ Spirit within, remembering that the flesh also is of God and must become illumined and purified, glorified by the Spirit of the Son of God. Next headline. Ring true. Many set their feet upon the path believing that to get anywhere they must learn many occult and magical secrets. But they are eventually disappointed, because the spiritual mysteries can never be conveyed to a soul through words alone. The real power to perform so-called miracles can only come to you through your working to attain it. You can read every book in the libraries of the world, and know many interesting facts, and still remain impotent. The only way you will learn to work the oracle is through diligent work in your daily life. It is of no avail to dream, and hope, and wish. You must turn up your sleeves and get down to real practical service to humanity. It may be only thoroughly scrubbing a floor, or doing something much more distasteful. It may mean giving humble and sincere service to one to whom you do not feel drawn, or giving your hand to him in brotherhood, perhaps a difficult task. It may mean controlling your own wayward tongue and thoughts, and finding that the world gives you no credit because nobody is aware of the battle which you wage with yourself. This is the kind of work we mean when we say, turn up your sleeves, get right down on your knees in humility, and scrub the floor of your own lodge or temple. This also implies having courage when in adversity, and facing apparent injustice with a calm spirit, secure in the knowledge that God in His love has led you to face injustice for a wise purpose. Be true. This is the essence of the spiritual life. Strive always to ring true. The note of your spirit is sounded on the higher planes, and the knocks which you receive in your everyday life come to test whether you can really ring true. To ring true, you must always sound in tune with the note of God which is within you. The calm, faithful spirit which rings true throughout every experience of life, in both adversity and disappointment as well as in success, will gain admission into the heavenly places. Next headline. To find truth. Seek always the tranquil way, my brother. Cleanse your heart of all conflict, all fear. This you will do as you learn to understand the meaning of love. A story is told of a neophyte who went into the wilderness to seek his master. The master kindly received him but told him that like all neophytes he must prove himself ready to advance on the path which led to spiritual enlightenment, illumination and power. The pupil was overeager, and his mind overactive. He wanted power, he wanted to advance quickly on the spiritual path. But he lacked one essential complete love towards God and all mankind. He knew many things with his mind, but his heart was only slightly awake. So his master took him to the edge of a lake and firmly but gently led his pupil into its waters. He immersed and held him under the surface for a considerable time. When at last the pupil was allowed to rise, gasping and spluttering and saying that it had been a terrible experience, the master said, "My son, when you long for God, as desperately as you longed for air when you were underwater, then you will find God, and in finding God, you will find all." Many believe in God, they know a great deal on the intellectual plane. They go through ceremonies and follow devious paths, hoping always to find God, but instead go round and round in circles and their hearts remain barren. It is one thing to know about esoteric truths, and quite another to become part of, to experience, actually to live them. The only sure way of entering the kingdom of heaven is through the heart, through love, through becoming at one with God, who dwells within the silence of the heart. Aspiration towards God must become a yearning, a real driving force in you, until you feel ready to renounce everything that you think you possess, in order to become at one with God. When you sincerely and truly long so much to love God and to know God's love that nothing else matters, then you will find Him, and all truth. Next headline. Lead us not into temptation. My child, you have chosen to follow the spiritual path, and many, many times you have prayed, "Zero God, do not desert me, do not let me fall, lead me not into temptation. Give me strength that I may not fail when the tempter speaks." Nevertheless, you do fail, time and again the tempter with his worldliness triumphs over you, and you desert the path of Christ, the path of love. Why does the soul have to endure these temptations? The answer is simple: without the temptations which life brings, the Spirit of Christ in you could never develop and become strong. You would never acquire a clear vision so that you could see where you were going, but would continue to live, as so many do, in a state of vagueness and confusion. Nearly every day, every hour and every minute of your daily life you are confronted by temptations which would divert you from the spiritual path, and you need constantly to gather strength to your spirit in order to resist the tempter, until the Spirit of Christ grows strong within you. Perhaps you have never thought that all your daily temptations are bound up with the law of karma. For indeed whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is both a divine and a natural law. As you sow and tend the seeds in your earth, so will they grow. As you sow the seeds of thoughts, words and deeds, so will you have to reap the result of your sowing. Zira, my child, you are closed in clay, and cannot conceive the glories awaiting you when you have learnt to obey spiritual law by right living, right thinking and right action. In sum, what does this mean? Just this. Do not make excuses for yourself. Do not protest, I am only human, so what else can I do? How can I help failing? No, you cannot help failing, but you can truly strive and earnestly pray that you may not fall again when in temptation. And if you keep pure in heart and hold fast to the simple love and faith of a little child, looking always to Christ the Son who is the human manifestation of God, and pray, Lord, be with me. I would be with thee always, then, my child, you will not fail. The will in you to do right must be strong and enduring. You must have the will to will the will of God. You must pray for strength to enable you to live as a child of God. Next headline. Forgiveness and thankfulness. There are two qualities which a man must cherish in his heart if he would advance into the temple of that star which led the wise men to Christ. These are forgiveness and thankfulness, simple qualities like keys which can open the gates to the mysteries of heaven. You cannot pass through the gates until you have mastered such simple human lessons. Jesus said, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Forgiveness is one of the hardest lessons that humanity has to learn, but as man forgives, so he himself is forgiven. This is the law of forgiveness. It is not so difficult to forgive the big things, but we do not mean that kind of trespass. We have in mind the little things in life, the hasty judgments, the impatience with human frailties. We are all human and we all fail at times and need forgiveness. In the spirit world all have to be very forgiving. So will you also try to forgive those who err, who make mistakes largely because they do not understand. Forgive them also even if they do understand according to your knowledge. Forgiveness in your heart brings sunshine, peace of soul and tranquility into your life. Forgive, therefore, not only the big debts, but trivial human frailties. When hasty emotions threaten to overwhelm you, just forgive. Then all shall be forgiven you, and God will bless you. The second quality is thankfulness. Never cease to feel thankful to God. This is the secret of a perfect life, for in the act of thanking God you become in tune with Him. Thank God for all the blessings of your life, and for every opportunity offered to you during this incarnation which enables you to grow nearer to Christhood. Do not let your days slip by aimlessly, but be ever on the lookout for the meaning behind every episode which comes along. Life is not something just to be muddled through, but given so that you may welcome and rejoice in every experience, for these experiences are meant, not as a harsh chastisement or punishment, but as opportunities for you to learn to understand the wisdom of God's laws and the power of the spiritual light which emanates from God. Take with both hands that which the world would call bitterness, for within that bitterness you will find the nectar, the sweetness. It is the way in which you accept your experiences that matters, the way you allow them to awaken the love of the Christ Spirit in your heart. Whatever ordeal lies before you, my child, remember the Christ presence, for it will never leave you, and it brings peace and courage. You may be deeply thankful for His love. Did He not say, "Lo, I am with you always"? Part 2. The White Brotherhood. There are masters of the wisdom in both this world and in worlds beyond, They and even more evolved souls are formed into a vast brotherhood which is active in all planes of life, and is called the Great White Brotherhood. These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are always waiting in the silence to serve. If we could raise you to their level of thought or awareness, you would at once become conscious of their presence and power. They meditate and observe all things happening both in heaven and on earth. They become absorbed into universal mind, and are at one with God. In the process of man's soul development, he discards one by one the material veils which blind him to this vast array of spiritual power. All that is good, true and beautiful on earth was begun, inspired and brought into manifestation under God by this true brotherhood whose symbol is the Christ Star. Try to expand your consciousness and realize the immensity of the world service undertaken by this great white brotherhood. The physical bodies which you inhabit are like little closed boxes, but by aspiration you can liberate yourself and become en rapport with this ancient and limitless brotherhood beyond physical life. So, when you feel distracted by material things, keep calm and still, remember the brethren of the silence, whose very power of achievement lies in this silence. If you can touch this silence, their power will flow into you and disperse all your fears. Next headline. The love that guides your life. The elder brethren seek above all to help their earthly brethren towards the great surrender to God. Nevertheless, it is no part of the work of the brotherhood to make your path too easy, or to prevent you learning lessons, the mastery of which will gain for you an expansion of spiritual vision and consciousness. Be of good heart, keep simple in faith, be ready to surrender your cares and burdens to the spiritual love which watches over, guides and directs the child of light. We are able to bring you help when it is asked for selflessly. When the heart is filled with loving desire to serve humanity, help flows to you unhindered. By your love you set in motion certain helpful forces. Your spirit sounds a clarion call in the heavens, and commands the creative forces of life which come flooding to you, much as the little corpuscles of the bloodstream rush to heal a wound when called upon to do so. All the forces of the light rise up to help you when once you learn to call upon them in the right way. This is perfectly logical and scientific and can happen on all planes, but the aspirant has first to discipline himself on all planes of life before he can acquire power to command in spheres of spiritual activity. The mastery of himself can only come about as a result of continual, consistent practice of the presence of God. Become yourself a center of love. The misunderstandings and conflicts which arise between people and nations shatter man's peace of mind and confidence in his future. But having a power of vision ranging beyond your mortal vision, we see a wonderful inner growth going on in man. Rays of light and love are being projected to the earth from the Universal Star Brotherhood. You talk about love on your earth, but you have little understanding of the power and wonder of love as it exists and is practiced on higher planes. This love, this light, this tenderness and understanding are all the time being poured out upon the earth to help mankind rise from darkness to light. The one message which is always coming from the Brotherhood of the Star is of the necessity for man to learn to live as a center of love and goodwill to all creatures. This is not an impossible task, but it requires constant attention and self-discipline. There are many grades of humanity, and you cannot judge any one of them. All you can do is to become yourself a center of love, recognizing your own need for wider experience of human life, your need of training, of further development. For when you compare yourself with the Illuminati, you will feel very humble, but so in turn do they. Preserve a heart of love and compassion and keep your thoughts good, constructive and loving. You can render no greater service to God or man. Next headline. The brethren are close. The silent brothers are close to you in spirit. They know both the problems and the joys of your life, and understand the need of your soul. Although you may suffer loneliness, you are never truly alone. The companion of your spirit, your beloved, is with you all the time. You are only lonely if you isolate yourself in your physical life and consciousness. Your spirit can rise above this limitation and join your loved ones. But this means continual effort, an awakening of that inward knowing that you call faith. You must have faith in God's love. At death there is physical separation, but no separation of the human spirit, which is the real self. If you truly love your companion, he is with you, closer than breathing, because you and he are both part of God. Rise above the babble of the market square, and abide in the quiet places of the Spirit, where you will hear the voices and know the companionship of the Shining Ones. If you can do this, you will become a channel for the healing of men's souls and bodies. Do not be anxious, or question your way, neither grow weary. Live in the Christ radiance, and his power will sustain you. You will be guided by the brethren in all you do. Accept and follow the Christ way. Part 3. Be still. The way to discriminate between self-will and divine intuition is to learn first to rule the lower self and its stormy emotions and desires, for unruly emotions are a hindrance to the development of intuition. Turbulent water gives a broken reflection, or none at all, but when water is calm, clear and pure, there comes perfect reflection. In the same way, when the soul has trained itself to be still and peaceful, it truly reflects the spiritual worlds. This is intuition, an inward knowing. Spirit messengers or angels are sent by God to help you, and will speak through your intuition. Do not shut them out, either through mental arrogance or for any other reason. Be calm. Be still. Do one thing at a time quietly, tranquilly, and you will make the way clear in your soul for a greater inflowing of spiritual power. As the Master comforted the disciples on the storm-tossed waters, so he will comfort you. The water initiation is designed to bring control over the emotions. The elder brethren cannot work with you if your soul is like a turbulent sea. Lack of emotional control is the greatest hindrance in the service of the Master. Mental and soul peace, the achievement of controlled and wisely directed motion, are essential to progress. Next headline. Where to look for guidance. There come moments in your life when you feel wholly unable to deal with some material situation which arises, when you do not know what to do for the best, and are unable to make a decision. Some people like to take their troubles to the spirit friends and ask for guidance at such times. They feel that only a spirit being can really help them, but they fail to realize that it is not some spirit to whom they should turn for their help, but to the Spirit of God, the Great White Spirit whom they worship. Christ said, "Lo, I am with you always, not only at certain times or during religious ceremonies, but always, for you are sons and daughters of the living God, and hold within your heart something of the nature and qualities of God. That which your soul is seeking can be found within your own being. To find it, learn to be still and cast your burden upon the Lord." In other words, let go, surrender, lay down your problems. Do not try to unravel the knot, which gets tighter and tighter the more you pull at it. Lay it down. Concentrate all your heart upon that gentle, loving personality, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all knots will be unloosed, all problems solved. Now in your imagination behold the human form of the Lord Jesus, see him coming to you clothed in beauty, with hands outstretched to greet you. Feel his gentle, pure, sweet love radiating forth. He comes, my child, to raise you above the turmoil of physical life into the peace of the Spirit. He comes to help you that you may see a truer, purer vision of life, to discern the real from the unreal, which is your daily life on earth. He comes to set you free from burdens which are at times too heavy for you to carry alone. Surrender yourself to this beautiful influence, and you will be comforted, healed and blessed, frayed nerves will be soothed and comforted, and a joy unspeakable will unfold in your heart. Next headline. The secret place within the heart. The purpose of man's life on this earth planet is that he may demonstrate the Spirit of the Son of God, that the beauty of the Christ life shall eventually manifest through matter. Man must learn to go reverently to the secret chamber of the heart and find there the Christ man, the child of God. He must learn the inner secret of himself. We beg you not to devote too much attention to material things, but to seek first the secret of real creative power, deep, deep within, and behind all physical form. Endeavor to find yourself the real I beneath the outer coats of flesh and mind which obscure it. To do this, try to think in terms of 3, 1.